This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this short list, and here's our text scripture, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. I always like lists. If you're a type A, if you're a driver, you like lists because you like to check things off the list. So it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We've been talking about prayer. I want to go back into that tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. And tonight, we just open our hearts up. We expect to receive from you. We just trust that you'll teach us and reveal to us what we need to know. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for revealing to us. Thank you for showing us. Thank you. We expect good things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we talk about prayer, if we did a poll of Christians, I think it'd be one of the areas where you just go, well, hey, how's your prayer life? And oftentimes you're going to see people kind of duck their heads and go, I don't know. And I think it's one of those areas there that Jesus said, he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. And so when we see this verse that says rejoice always, we talked about that. I hope, anybody been rejoicing more since we've been doing that? I can tell you, I have. I've enjoyed it. It's really good. And so rejoicing more, then it says pray without ceasing. Now that's not talking about you can't even talk to people because you've got to pray. It's talking about we don't give up on prayer, and we don't abandon it. And so oftentimes it's easy to abandon it. Maybe you prayed for some things that didn't come to pass. You abandoned it. And so when it says pray without ceasing, he's talking about that. So we've been going over a pattern for prayer. Jesus gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, we have talked about the fact that if you grew up and you simply recited the Lord's Prayer, is there anything wrong with that? No, absolutely not. It's the Lord's Prayer. Joy said the other day, she was walking, and during her walk, a lot of times she likes to quote Scripture and meditate on Scripture. She said, I was just quoting on the Lord's Prayer. So it's a wonderful thing to do. No problem there. But you can also take that prayer and use it as a template for prayer. So we can expand our prayer so we can use it. And we started with last week with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I'm not going to talk so much about the hallowed be your name, but that really is holy is your name. And it is a sign of respect. And so when we begin to pray, we're not just talking to the air. We believe there is a God. We believe he hears us when we pray. And so as we're praying, we also treat him with respect. Now, if you ever go into the office of maybe the president of your company, or you have an opportunity to meet the mayor, or I actually had an opportunity a number of years ago with Bob Goku to meet the president of Guyana. And when you go into the president's office, that's the only president I've ever met. And so you go into the president's office, you don't just walk in and go, what's up? you don't go, hey, dude. If you go in someone who's high ranking like that, you treat the office with respect, whether you agree with the man or not. Amen. And I could roll off on that, but I'm just going to stay right here. But the idea is you don't run. If you get a phone call and says, hey, the CEO of the company would like to talk to you. When you go in, especially a larger corporation, there's protocol. And you just don't barge into his office. You wait to be invited in, shake his hand. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you allowing me to be here. Thank you for the job. So you just don't barge in and begin blaring stuff. So how about when we pray? No sense in starting. Yeah, I believe God deserves more respect than any president or any CEO. And so when we talk to him, We don't just go, God. Jesus said, pray this man, our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. And you could take off right there. Lord, you're holy. You are good. You are faithful. You're true. Strength and beauty are in your sanctuary. All the angels around you shout, holy, holy, holy. You're an awesome God. Awesome. And so there's nothing wrong with that. That's treating him with respect. So we're not just barging in. We're praying. You're God. You're good. You're holy. And you know, that'll help you. If you have Those of you who have kids, you know, when they're little, man, they come running in. They have no respect, no boundaries. Forget doors. Unless you lock them, they're coming through. Man, they'll come barging through. Hey, Daddy, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, I need this. Daddy, Daddy. My little daughter, whoo, boy, she could go. Something about daughters and daddies, man. Daughters can work a daddy real good. Daddy, 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 Daddy. When they get older, you expect a little bit more protocol. If you're 18, don't come rolling into my going, Daddy, 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 Daddy. So you expect a little bit more honor and respect. And I'm just thinking, I've got one child who will go nameless. But it's not Matt or Christina. And every time he in the past, and he's getting better about this, but every time he used to call me, he wanted something. I know none of you ever have kids like that. In fact, you don't hear from them until they, in fact, you see their name light up your iPhone, you go, and what do they want? He's getting better about that. He actually called the other day and said, hey, how you doing? I'm like, whoa. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. But as you learn, why? As they mature, it's more relational, not just I want, I want, I want. Our Heavenly Father, holy is your name. Now, the next one that Jesus went into is something I think is important. And in fact, I call it a potential roadblock to prayer. And he starts off where we are not wired to start off. He starts off with, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's the thing. We're honest. I don't know about you. I'll be honest. My tendency when I go to prayer is to praise God and then to launch right into what I need. I know I'm the only one. Indulge me just for a moment. But the tendency is, we got things going on, we have needs, and the tendency is, and Jesus said, pray after this manner, don't start with your stuff, start with His stuff first. And really, if you begin to think about it, that's how God's kingdom works. It's a love-based kingdom. It's not based on selfishness. And so when we start praying and we're praying, God, we want your kingdom, where you rule, we want that to expand, and we want your will to be done. So we're beginning to pray those things. And if we'll start there, we're really talking about God things. In 1 Timothy, I won't put it up, in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, Paul's praying. He said, I exhort, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, supplications be made for all men, for those who are in authority, for kings and for all who are in authority. So he says, start there. So oftentimes we're starting with our stuff. And Jesus said, don't start with your stuff, start with God's stuff. God, we want your kingdom to expand. God, we want your will to be done. You can begin to pray that. God, I want your kingdom to expand all over the world. I want it to expand in our nations. If you know missionaries, we have missionaries here in this church. God, thank you for expanding your kingdom through the missionaries that we know at the Ark. And you could talk about Jim Eby, and you could talk about Les and the ones who go to other countries and say, God, expand your kingdom through there. Father, we want to see your kingdom expanded in our nation. I want to see God's... How many of you know we could use a move of God in our nation in a very, very big way? We need that. Well, here's the deal. We need to pray that. Not just wait for it to happen. Let's get involved with it. Let's pray. I want to see God move in our nation. Our nation needs help. We need God in a big, big way. And so we pray, and God, your kingdom come. How about our state? I know this is Texas. We're better than everybody else, but we still need God to move here too. And how about our area? We're praying for our area. We want to see God's kingdom move in Montgomery County. You know, we've been praying for Montgomery County for a long time. And I'll never forget, Officer John told me that the crime, the murder rate has gone down tremendously in Montgomery County over the last 20 years, which is as long as we've been here. So are you going to take credit for that? No, God gets credit for that, but we're praying. We're going to pray about it. This is our land. This is our area. God, we want to see your kingdom come. How about in this church? We want to see God's kingdom come. His will be done in this church. So these are things that we can pray. And you don't have to spend a long time there, but that's a good place to pray. Father, your will be done. You can begin to pray for that. Now, let me give you a real good prayer, just a quick prayer. It's right out of the Bible. It's a good way to pray for other believers who are your friends or your family who are in your life. Like to know it?
Yes.
And it's just an inspired prayer. It's found in Colossians. It's actually the prayer I pray predominantly for you. It's found in Colossians, the first chapter. And it says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we don't cease to pray for you. Paul is talking to the church at Colossae and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience. And patience is perseverance, long-suffering is dealing long with people with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, that's a wonderful prayer. I recommend this prayer all the time for people. I say, put your friends, your loved ones right in there. You can pray. I pray this for you. I say, Father, for the people in this church, I want to thank you for the people here at the Ark, the people that you've entrusted to us here at the Ark, the people who are coming. Father, I want to pray for them, and I ask that you would fill them with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I ask you, Father, that they would walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, that they would be fruitful in every good work. Can you see where these are good things? So instead of praying, and sometimes you just get tired of praying, Lord bless so-and-so, Lord bless so-and-so, Lord bless so-and-so, Lord bless so-and-so. Instead of praying that, here's a better prayer you could pray. Put their name right in there. Colossians, the first chapter, verses 9 through 12. And you can begin to pray that. Now, that's a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer, and that will help. It's a good way. You know you're praying inside the will of God for them. And the reason I say that is oftentimes I hear people pray, but they pray some stuff that, Have you ever heard this? Lord, break them. Break them, Lord. Break them down, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, break them down. Don't be praying that for me. But really, really, we don't find that in the scriptures anywhere where it says, Lord, break them. How about, Lord, enlighten them? How about the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened? You never heard Paul pray. And man, he had some churches going some jacked up stuff. He never prayed, Lord, break them. Just break them down, grind them into the dust. That is not how you want to pray. Now, some of you are like, well, Alan, you don't know. I'm praying for my son. He's so far away from God. And I'm telling you something. I'm just praying, Lord, just bust him up and break him down. This is a better prayer. And if you're praying for me, pray that prayer out of Colossians. Don't be praying. And don't be praying, oh, Lord, keep him humble. I'm already married to Joy. I got all the humbleness I need. All right. Gosh, I'm only on point two. This is that marathon series that just, all right. But we're talking about prayer. And boy, here's the deal. When you do things God's way, you've heard me say this. If we want God's blessings, we do things His way. You've heard me say that. I say that to couples all the time. I say, hey, pray for our relationship. I go, are you married? No. Are you living together? Yes. I say, here's the best way to do it. If you want God's blessings, do it His way. You get married. Well, I'll marry you. Do it for free.
Amen.
I can have you in and out in 7 minutes. That's an express wedding. But some of the sweetest weddings, and nobody's singing, ain't no music playing. We're getting this done, all right? But I'll tell you, some of the sweetest weddings I've ever done are people who've come in because they wanted to be right with God. They came in, and I have done weddings with multiple kids lined up, and they said, we've been living together now for 15, 16, 17 years, and we want to come make it right. Wonderful weddings. I love doing those. They are expressed, and they're good. So I'm thankful. You want God's blessings? Do it His way. We want God's blessings in our life, then we're always adjusting our ways to His ways.
Amen.
And see, our ways is me first. And we live in a me first culture. It's all about you. I just picked up an advertisement today, said the kids are back at school. Now it's time to focus on you. And there's something in our flesh that goes, yes, that's exactly right. It's all about me. It's me. And that's, we're raised that way. You see it in little ones. Two-year-old's favorite word is mine. When we get older, we just learn to disguise it better. Oh, you go first. Bless you. It's really mine. So here's the thing. There's a great passage in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And the people are coming to God and they're like, God, we don't understand. We have fasted and we've done all the right things and you're not noticing. And God spoke to Isaiah the prophet, said, I want you to tell my people what they're doing. And he said, you're fasting and you're doing all these religious things. He said, but you're doing it for your own pleasure. You're still mean to your workers. You're still fighting and quarreling. And then he says this in Isaiah 58, verse 6. He said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? God speaking now. He said, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. He said, not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and you don't hide yourself from your own flesh. He said, God's saying, this is what I want. He said, I want you to reach the hurting people. So I want you to stop oppressing people. I want you to stop fighting and being oppressive. He said, these are the things. God's saying is, do these things. And then there's some good news on that. And he goes on, verse 8. Here, you can put verse 8, Ben. He said, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. You see what he's saying here? God's saying is, hey, listen, don't just be doing a bunch of stuff and you're doing it selfishly. He said, if you begin to help people, you begin to reach out, you'll stop pointing the finger, you begin to bless others, then you begin to call out and God says, here I am. Then your light begins to come. See, what happens is we get so focused on us sometimes and we just get so inward that we miss so much of all the things God's got going on. It's like, God, open my eyes. Let me do something for other people. When I begin to do that, then my light begins to shine. Then good things begin to happen for me. Remember the story of Solomon? When Solomon was the king and he'd given an offering before the Lord, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Solomon, what do you want? It's like the blank check from the Lord. What do you want? And Solomon said, Lord, he said, you've made me a king. You honored my father David. You've made me a king. He said, I'm a little child. He said, I don't know how to come in or go out. He said, Lord, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me wisdom so I can know how to lead these people? Would you give me wisdom so I can be a blessing to somebody? Would you help me, Lord? And the Bible said it pleased the Lord that this was in Solomon's heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you exactly. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody else has ever had. He said, I'm also going to give you what you did not ask for. He said, I'm going to give you honor and I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you all the other stuff. Jesus said it in this in Matthew 6:33. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Thing is, guys, it's so easy to do this. We live in a culture where we're always seeking our own, always seeking our own. If we just begin to say, Lord, please help me. Help me break out of that cocoon of selfishness that just surrounds so many people and let me live differently. Make me a blessing to the people around. Make me a blessing. Lord, help me bless other people. And Lord, I want to pray for your kingdom and I want to pray for your will to be done. If you begin to do that, then your light, then answers are going to start to come to you. You begin to open up your life and you begin to open up your heart. It's a wonderful way to live. Say, Alan, have you perfected that yet? No. We're all on a process. It's all a journey and we're all learning, but it's a great way to learn and it's a great way to start. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then you go right into, and there's no roadblock here, give us. We got no problem with that. Give us. That's asking for ourselves. And listen, it's okay to ask the Lord for what you need. Now, some people go super spiritual, like, well, the Lord doesn't really care about our physical needs. He only cares about our spiritual needs. No, no. If that's the case, then when Jesus preached to the multitudes and he preached for 3 days, Jesus didn't go, well, I've fed you spiritually. Go and be blessed. That's not what he said. He said, these people are probably hungry right now. In fact, they're probably hangry, which is a combination of hungry and angry. They're hungry. He said, you need to feed them. And all the disciples are like, we got enough money to go to Chick-fil-A and get everybody all chicken nuggets. We can't do this. He said, so what have you got? What did he do? He fed them. If he wasn't interested in their physical needs, why'd he feed them? When Peter needed tax money, they said, does your master pay the temple tax? He went to Jesus. He said, Jesus, they're asking about the taxes. Jesus didn't say, it's okay, Peter. You are spiritually blessed. He said, go fishing and take the first fish that comes up. There's going to be money in its mouth and pay the taxes for you and me. He was concerned about it's okay to ask for physical things. So if you're thinking, I can't ask the Lord for that. No, no, no. Is it okay to ask the Lord for cars? Yes. Jobs? Yes. Help? Yes. Do you need money? Yes. The Bible says he'll supply all our needs. All. And it's okay to ask. And so if you've been nervous about asking, you say, well, how do I know what to ask for? Always ask in line with God's word. If we ask in line with God's word, we're asking in line with his will. So we begin to find in scriptures, has he done this before? Do we have a principle for it? Can we ask for it? That's when we begin to ask. That gives us confidence. You know, if you need wisdom, you know, there's a promise that says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to criticize you. He said, and it will be given to him. So there's how many of us could do wisdom on something? It's like wisdom. You know, does the Lord really care about the fact that my second grader is having a hard time in school? Yes. Yes. And you can ask for wisdom for that. Now, the last one we're going to talk about, I'm not quite going to have time to get into. So we've got, Jesus said, praying for God's kingdom first. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. But then the next one is the one that can really be a roadblock in people's life. And then he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's a real challenge. Because oftentimes, the forgiveness issue, you talk about something that will block your spiritual arteries. It's that. It's carrying unforgiveness. Because forgiveness really is big with God. It's big with God because it cost him a lot. In Ephesians, I'm going to skip a verse. Carry Ephesians 1:7, look at this. In him we have redemption purchased through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, our forgiveness cost God something. And it cost him the blood of his son. And that's precious. If you've ever bought your child something, especially if you bought them something that was expensive, you don't want to see them mistreat that. You're looking at them going, you know, you stood in line. Sometimes these fad toys come out and people go crazy trying to find them, and they ride all over town, stand in line. They finally get this certain thing, and then you see your child beating it on the floor. And you want to lay hands on them suddenly and pray for them. And you're like, what are you doing? You're like, I don't like this whole thing. It's like, that costs money. I know none of you have ever said that. That costs money. It's expensive. What are you doing? And you realize the value of it. Maybe the child doesn't realize the value. You realize the value. We have to put value in the fact that our forgiveness, when he shed his blood on the cross, he forgave us all of our sins. That was expensive. That cost God. And so forgiveness is a big deal with God. Our forgiveness is a big deal, but then our willingness to forgive others is a big deal. And this is where we get a little bogged down. And so oftentimes we think, well, Alan, I can never forgive what they did to me. Alan, I can never forgive. You don't ever want to say you can never forgive. In Ephesians, he gives us a pattern of what we're to do. He says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now let me give you just some quick things about forgiveness. Here's the first one. Don't wait for a feeling to forgive. Don't wait for a feeling. You wait for a feeling to forgive, you'll be waiting a long time. But once you forgive, you just say this, I forgive them, I release them, I forgive them just by an act of my will. And I've asked the Lord, Lord, help me, because I don't feel like forgiving them. But I forgive them, act of my will. It's forgiven. That's the first thing. Second thing, once you have forgiven, don't keep thinking about it. So what will happen is you'll forgive somebody, and about 2 minutes later, a thought will come about what they did. And if you're not careful, you'll start looping that thought. You know what I mean by looping it? Over and over and over again. I've caught myself. If I'm by myself, I'll do it out loud. Nope. I've forgiven them. I'm moving on. Nope. They're forgiven. I'm moving on. And add to that this, don't talk about it. Don't tell someone about, well, I just want you to know that I forgave them. Because they did this to me, but I forgave them. Oh, and can I add something to this too? People ask me all the time Alan, I had somebody do something, a relative do something to me, and they really hurt me. They were abusive. And I called them up and told them I forgave them. Don't do that. Don't. Forgiveness is a gift. You just forgive them. Because oftentimes what will happen is you'll call them to tell them that you forgave them, and they'll go, for what? And you go, for what? I'll tell you exactly for what. And then you're right back in the middle of that again. So if you just forgive them. Lord, I release them. I forgive them. Here's the third. This is the big one. People say, can you give me another minute? Can you give me one more minute? People say, Alan, if I forgive them, does that mean they're back in my life? They molested my child. Alan, if I could forgive them, that's not right. You're right. That's not right. You can forgive them, but forgiveness is a gift. Trust is earned. Does that make sense? Just because you forgive them doesn't mean you give them access to your children if you cannot trust them. You can forgive and you're just like, I forgive. Lord, I'm not going to hold that against them. I forgive them. But that does not mean I just give you open access into my life again. Does that help you at all? Because oftentimes people go, they feel like if I forgive them, that means justice is not done. Justice is always done. God is the God who is just. And I've just turned them over to the Lord and said, Lord, they're in your hands, but my hand's not going to be against them. I forgive them. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, I pray for those right now, tonight, are dealing with forgiveness. They've held things and held things and held things for years. And Lord, I just ask that you would help them to take that step. It's a step of faith, Lord. You've forgiven us. Your blood has cleansed us. We can forgive others. And Lord, we can do it by an act of our will and an act of our faith and trust in you. And thank you, Lord, for helping and strengthening and the release that comes from forgiveness. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know that. Or if I do, I'm just not confident of it, but I want to be confident. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, I used to have a relationship with God. I've been so far away from Him, but tonight I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. We're going to pray. But if that's you tonight, man, you can make things right. If you've been away from God, you can come home. If you're not confident, you can start your confidence walk tonight. We're going to say a prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, would you pray for me, man? I'm in one of those two categories. I really want God in my life, or I want Him back in my life. Would you pray for me? Just real quickly, shoot your hand up across the auditorium. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah, thanks. Great, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate your courage and your honesty. That's great. Anybody else? All right, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, you thought you missed your opportunity. Thank God you didn't miss your opportunity. This is a This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you. Pray it out loud. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Pray so you can hear yourself pray it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for those who've stepped back into the light and those who've walked right in for the very first time. We rejoice with them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.